Blog Talk Radio.
Inadvertently, I don't know what happened, but our program, which was supposed to be running for 30 minutes, will only be running for 15 minutes. But we're going to give you the highlights of some of the important events, both in the local news as well as the national and international news. In the local news, we know here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, public transportation has come to a halt. SEPTA workers have gone on strike as of today at 12:01 a.m. The issues behind today's decision to go on strike are health care, pension, and non-economic issues like schedules, break time, and driver fatigue. The strike will directly affect some 400,000 riders. The Market Frankfort line, the Broad Street line, and the Broad Ridge spur lines, as well as trolley routes 10, 11, 13, 15, 34, and 36, along with all city bus routes, will not be in operation during the strike. Only SEPTA subway, trolley, and bus routes will be affected, those that are in Philadelphia directly. Both SEPTA and the Workers' Union have discontinued all talks as of now. The last time the SEPTA went on the strike was in the year 2009. I wonder how everyone's going to have alternatives. What alternatives have you chosen to get around in the city of Philadelphia during this strike? Are you doing carpooling? Are you walking? Are you using Uber or cab service? Exactly how are you going to be getting around in these days ahead? Hopefully the strike won't last long, but we never know how long it's going to last. You know, on next Tuesday, a week from now, we'll be having our presidential and congressional election, and we know that that's very important for everybody to go out and vote. And I wonder just how this strike, if it lasts that long, will impact the voter turnout. But we'll have to keep track of it, and we'll let you know exactly the progress and exactly the situation as it unfolds. 3 days ago, more than 200 officers held their ground in Common Ball, North Dakota, trying to clear Native American demonstrators from blocking a highway used to access a nearly completed oil pipeline that will cross four states, North and South Carolina, Iowa, and Illinois. The pipeline, when completed, will stretch across the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, which straddles the border between North and South Dakota. This project will cost an estimated $3.8 billion and will pump 570,000 barrels of oil a day along the region. Two of the main concerns that supporters against this pipeline have is that it will desecrate the sacred land of the American Indians residing there who have ancestors buried there. And the oil pump will greatly increase the chance of polluting the Missouri River, causing potential health issues to those who live in the area. It's worth noting that the Missouri River is the longest river in North America. The river rises in the Rocky Mountains of western Montana and empties into the Mississippi River north of St. Louis, Missouri. During the confrontation between police and protesters, pepper spray was used by the authorities against the demonstrators, and 140 of them were arrested. The protest continues with no end in sight. Other news stories: one dead and seven injured in a Colonial Gas pipeline explosion in Helena, Alabama. Also in Chongqing, China, 13 persons were confirmed dead and 18 are still missing in a gas explosion at a Chinese coal mine. A woman was stabbed by trick-or-treaters at Federal Way in Washington State. Palestinian gunman was killed after shooting and wounding three Israeli soldiers. A report recently came out that one in three of all excessive force claims against police involve physically and mentally challenged people. In other words, this study reveals that at least one-third of all victims of police killings are people with disabilities. Finally, in 7 days, we will be going to our various election sites across this country to choose all 435 congresspersons to serve in the House of Representatives and 24 senators to serve the next 6 years in the United States Senate. We also will be asked to choose the 45th president of the United States. Four candidates are being seriously considered to hold the lofty office: Hillary Clinton, the Democratic candidate; Donald Trump, the Republican candidate; Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate; and Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. The two frontrunners, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are engaged in character assassination tactics and have significant differences in where they want to take America and its citizens in the next 4 to 8 years if they are elected president. However, as a Christian, as a person of faith, I feel that I must look at who among the candidates will best exemplify the values established in both the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Yahshua Jesus found in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Notice when I said exemplifies, best exemplifies, I didn't say perfectly exemplifies, because no one, whether male or female, will ever be blameless, and all they can do is hope to strive to reach that place where they can be an example before their constituents. The Ten Commandments teaches that we are to never take the Lord's name in vain, that we are not to kill, commit adultery, or steal, that we are not to covet anything that our neighbor possesses, and that we need to never bear false witness against anyone. Christ taught that we are to let our light shine before everyone, everywhere, that we are to never call anyone empty-headed or a fool, that we do not live by the philosophy of an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but rather we are to fight evil with good. If someone asks us to go for our shirt, we are to give them our coat also. We are to love our enemies and pray for them who spitefully use us. We are to treasure the things that are eternal and not the temporary, finite things of this mundane world. And we are to serve God and not money, because you can't serve them both. We are not only to ask for forgiveness, but we are just as willing to forgive as well. These are some of the attributes that we need to look at when we look at our president. What example, what character traits does he or she have that we need to cast our votes on their behalf. What do you want to see in your president? What do you want to see from these candidates? What do you want to hear? We don't have much time. We only have really 7 days. This time next week we'll be in the booth. We'll be casting our votes. We'll be deciding the future of this country. Who do we want to represent us? Who stands for the values that we stand for? Who do you think will best lead our nation to a greater and a brighter future? Who will allow their light to shine that the whole world and every leader in the world will respect this nation and understand the power and the majesty of this nation? They will fight for equality for everyone. Every one of the 317 million citizens that call themselves citizens of this great land. That there will be no partiality. That there will be no preferential treatment. That everybody will be treated equally under the law. And that everyone will be given a free opportunity to advance and prosper in this land of prosperity. That's what we should be looking for in a candidate. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I wouldn't presume to do that. But I am here to ask you to look inside of yourself and look inside of your heart and really study these candidates in the next 7 days. Go to your internet and look them up and look their past history up for yourself. Don't take the word of the advertisements and the publicity and the propaganda that's being perpetrated in the media. Find out for yourself what each of these persons stand for, what they've stood for over the years, both in private life and in public life. One thing that we have in this nation, we have the advantage of being able to look at people in their past, to see their record, how they voted, how they lived, what they did, and then to measure it by the standards that we have set as being important to us. And then when you go into the booth, and then when you pull the lever, or when you push the button, and you cast your vote for the next president of the United States of America, you'll do so knowing full well that what you've done is live up to what you believe this country needs to make this country even better than what it is now. There's a whole lot of work yet to be done. We've achieved a lot in the over 200 years that we've been a nation. We've achieved a great bit. But there's a whole lot more for us to do, a whole lot more for us to attain, a whole lot more for us to achieve as Americans in this country. The world is looking at us. They're looking at our decision. They're looking at where we're going. They're looking at what we stand for. Are we truly a nation under God? Are we truly a nation that respects the character and the responsibility of each and every citizen to live a good and productive life? We want our nation to be a nation that the world can look at as an example, that the world can look at and be like a role model to us all. If we do that, dear hearts, we will be able to do all that we attain and all that we aspire to become. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for taking the time to hear us. And whether you've heard us live or whether you hear us in the archives, we ask that you will look at these situations, these situations in the world today. We're living in a precarious world today, and we need to take our responsibilities seriously. So until we meet again, we thank you in the news with your host, G. William Scott. I thank you for your consideration. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your listening, and I hope that you take what I've said to heart and that you look inside of to make this nation the greatest nation in the world.